Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday. That feels like a Monday to us because we're off yesterday, and kind of a Friday because we're off tomorrow, both because of Cardinals baseball games. And Monday's weird, too, because Monday's a 4:15 game, so we're doing half a show. What are you going to do?
You tough it out, man.
My heart is broken.
You tough it out.
Nothing you can do.
Yep. Keep your head down and keep on grinding.
I like that. I like that attitude. It's so true.
Sir. I need a better life, though, because when you're sitting there on a day off in the afternoon, you're like, I wish I was doing the show right now.
Well,
the show is fun.
I was going to say, it's a different argument because you have a fun job.
Right. Yeah. And I got like extreme anxiety yesterday. I even came into work for, not to brag, but I did come into work yesterday and I worked a little bit. But then when I got home, I was just like, oh, something's wrong. And the only thing I could land on was I'm supposed to be on the air and I'm not.
I always felt that way when I was a kid. I'm a weird bag of I will pull shenanigans, but I'll feel guilty. And I would fake being sick at least once a week when I was a kid. And then you feel weird because your friends are at school and you're at home watching Days of Our Lives and eating tuna fish sandwiches and just...
Yeah,
and you know your mom knows you're lying. And
yeah,
you're like, are you
100%.
Are you mad? Are you mad?
Oh my God, I'd forgot about that. I would be like that.
I would same way.
Was there anything more terrifying as a child than the kids in your class who were bad, would pull shenanigans, and then had no remorse? Like that was, I was always just like, what's wrong with you? The teacher is so upset and she's yelling at you and you don't care.
Yeah.
Like it just blew my mind.
Those people are all in jail.
We had these two brothers I was friends with and they were, all of South Roxana is literally across the tracks. We're across the tracks from Roxana. And South Roxana was always inferior in every way to Roxana. So we grew up across the tracks. But then you had across the tracks. And these two were that. They're good buddies of mine. But we went to Charlie's Market one time. And they called stealing cobbing.
Okay.
And they had cobbed a bunch of stuff and put it in their pants. And we walked down there like, what did you cob? I'm like, I'm sorry, come again? And they did have their pants full of stuff and they just had zero remorse.
We're just assuming you're stealing with us,
yeah.
Dave.
No, 100%.
Man. Why else would we be going to the store?
Right. It was like a 50s movie about gangs or something like that.
So pre-cameras in the store, was it just like...
Evidently,
no one saw
you. Yeah, pretty easy. They had the mirrors,
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
At the end of every aisle,
The Walgreens mirrors.
Yeah.
At Radio Shack, we had, we sold real surveillance cams, but then we had fake ones. But you could buy those. It was like $15 and you
That's
just
awesome.
Get a fake surveillance camera. It was good at deterring people from stealing.
And who would assume that Radio Shack, of all places, wouldn't have the real thing?
Right.
You're selling them.
Yeah. Is this Stairway to Kevin or a little slice of Kevin?
I don't know. What would you like it to be? It could be either one.
Kevin, help us.
Kevin, help us.
Like, Kevin, help us is my favorite.
I like
That's
that
really
one, too.
Good.
Well,
That's
this
really
actually
good.
Kind of applies if we're going to go with that route. Because I came across this audio, or it was a video on Twitter, but we'll play it in the audio form. Former Cardinal Mark DeRosa, former Major League player, was talking about youth sports. And, we talk a lot about the Cardinals and big league sports, and I think there are some things we could do more with high school age sports, youth sports, because I get a lot of questions from it because I've been involved with it for so long. I get people that are friends, people that are coworkers, and ask for things like, what should I be looking for? What kind of things we could get into? Well, I thought Mark DeRosa made a really good point that we can expand, and I think it applies beyond sports, but it's about your experience and what you're trying to find for your child. He's talking specifically about baseball, but you could apply this to pretty much any activity in sport, in my opinion.
And I'll say this about travel baseball. Everyone wants to be on a winning team. I get that. But if you're going to be on a winning team and not get a chance to have ABs at a young age, it means nothing. So I hate the whole idea of, oh, he's on the B team, the C team, the D team. Well, I don't care. Is he getting ABs and is he being coached the proper way and being taught the fundamentals and how to be a good teammate and how to add value to a team. If that's the case, we'll figure it out when the dust settles at 17, 18 years old.
So it's a baseball point, but I think it fits on a broader scale, right? You should be looking for the best opportunities for your child. Now, what he's talking about and again, travel baseball is the world that I've lived in for 17, 18 years. He's talking about people that they just want to be on a team that wins. And well, if you're the 13th guy on the best team in town, you might be the second best guy on the next best team in that same program, which would mean more priority playing time. More, he said ABs. He means more at-bats, more innings on the mound, more innings at the positions that you want to play. And in the long run, that's probably a better fit for you than being on the team that gets the $5 trophy every weekend.
I know this isn't what you're talking about, but it brings a memory back to me. So I was the second string running back for my football team in high school, and we were extremely good. We, from freshman year through senior year, we lost exactly one game.
Wow.
We lost in the state finals of our senior year. So I didn't get a lot of playing time. And in my sophomore year, they had a B team game, and I ran for like 300 yards. It's one of my very best sports memories. And but it was like the scruffs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was not, it was, let's let these losers have a game. And it was so much fun. And I enjoyed the hell of it. And I understand what he's talking about is more consistency and becoming a better athlete and a better teammate by actually playing.
Yeah.
But one of my very best sports memories, and I went on to play college sports, is playing in a B team game that no one cared about.
Yeah. And I think this is the point. This is where, and that's partly why I wanted to bring this up and broaden the conversation beyond sports too. But my experience is in sports. But you should be seeking for all things, academics, sports, dance, whatever your kid is into, the best opportunity for them in the moment. And you sometimes have to ask them what they want out of this as opposed to just deciding it yourself. And if you say to the kid, do you want to be, for example, I mean, I coach 14-year-olds. They don't all know if they want to be college athletes or not. They think they do, but they're not sure. And at some point, they're going to figure that out. But this is where parents need to have those conversations. My sister was a dancer, highly competitive dancer. I know nothing about the dance world, but I know that there are some studios that are better than others and that some have more talent than others. Do you want to be, for lack of a better term, on the B team at the bigger studio, or do you want to be on the A team where you're going to get more reps, essentially? You're going to be in more of the top numbers.
You want to be last in your class at Harvard Law? You want to be first in your class at a lesser school?
Again, and I think that it's in these activities, music, sports, dance, the things that matter are repetitions, right? It's not about whether or not your team wins games. There's too much emphasis on winning competitions, winning tournaments, winning that at the youngest levels. The winning matters when jobs are on the line. You get to college, winning matters. Some places in high school sports, especially high school football and basketball, winning matters to the coach or they get fired. But that's not the common. That's not the norm. Winning makes a difference, but the way you learn how to win is by being a better player that can contribute on the higher level teams when you're older. So what he's talking about, this again, this is a major league player who went through it all, who is telling you, from his own experience and from coaching kids, coaching his sons, you're not better off just being on the better team. You don't, quote, learn to win by being on a winning team. You learn how to win by being better at the individual skills that it requires to be a better. Same thing in music, right? Like, if you're going to be a really good guitar player, do you want to jump into the best band or do you need to learn how to play first? Instead of just being there and having people carrying you and then in the end being replaced because you're not good enough.
We talked about this when I told my story, and I forget what your take was, but it was similar to this. When in ninth grade, the high school coach called my home and talked to me and said, you can play ninth grade baseball this summer and you're going to hit 500, or you can play for me and play with 17 and 18-year-olds, and you're going to ride the bench, but you're going to be on the team.
Yeah.
And I said, because I've always written it off to cowardice, that I said, no, coach, thank you, but I'm going to stick with my ninth grade team, and I had a blast playing it. But I always regretted that.
No.
Because I felt like I missed a real opportunity.
You made the right call. Nobody gets better watching. You do not get better at sports by sitting and watching. That's like saying you'll get better as a guitar player by just listening to music instead of playing the guitar. You have to play. And there are high school coaches in town that I know of in baseball that have done that. They bring the freshmen up and they sit and watch. You do not learn a skill by watching other people exclusively. Now, you can learn by watching other people, but you have to get the reps in. You have to get, in that case, it's game reps. And again, I use the analogy of music all the time. like if you just listen to somebody playing the guitar, but you don't actually play the guitar, are you going to get better?
No.
No, you have to play. And I think that that's something that, you know, this is part of the reason I like this message from a former major league player who's a very smart guy, is that this is, yes, this is a sports conversation for him, but to me, this is a bigger thing. Don't push your kid to be in the advanced classes if they're not ready for the advanced classes, right? You're putting extra burden on there. Don't push because you think the higher profile thing is better. You got to push the kids to what the kids are able to be pushed at and what is their level. And being able to assess that can be hard because we all want the best for our kids. But your kid is not always going to be in the position where being on the best team is what's best for them. Or being in the advanced class may not be what's best for them in that particular subject. You might be an advanced AP student in English, but maybe not in math. Don't push it just because you want the prestige. Mm-hmm. Put your kid where they belong based on their aptitude.
How's this hit you for tennis? No, really, because you're a beginner and you're learning. And, you know, do you feel like if someone came along and said, hey, you can play on our tennis team, but you're just going to sit most of the time, as opposed to what you and Kurt do now, which is go out and play every day?
I would just keep playing every day because I wouldn't want to be the worst one on the team. I mean, selfishly, that plays into it, is like, I don't want to be the weakest person on the team. I'm not ready for that. And yeah, I'm at a point where I, like Wheel said, like I have to practice. I have to play or else I'm just going to stagnate. So.
And at some point, you have to be able to play on the best team or be at that level to keep advancing.
Yeah.
Right? But we're talking about at the youth levels.
Yeah.
At 13 and 14, it is not predetermined which one of those kids is going to be a Division I athlete.
Just like me and my story about being on the B team, it was embarrassing to play in a B game when you're that young.
You think it is.
Think it is. Yeah, but that's a big thing for kids. Everyone knows, like, we had reading groups in third grade. We had the Cardinals, the Bluebirds, and the Crows.
Yeah.
Guess which one was the worst? And we all knew it.
Yeah.
Everyone knew that the kids who couldn't read very well were in the Crows. And it was a stigma.
Yeah, and I think it's important to, like, I've seen this firsthand. Again, my experience is baseball, but this lesson is across the board. I have seen the kids who were super crushed at 14 when they didn't make the A team and they were assigned to the B team. And they were upset about it, but as I explained it to these kids personally, it's better for you right now to play and have the priority. And one of those kids...
They're lucky to have you. They're lucky to have a coach who talk about that.
And we're not alone in that. There are other great coaches and great programs around. That kid one of the kids I'm thinking about, that kid, one of them just got drafted after having a great college career. Just got drafted into the professional ranks. It doesn't matter at the younger levels what team you're on. Get better, and then when you're older, if you're better, you're going to keep moving up.
224 DGS on KMOX. We have Ricky Horton coming up at 2:30. We have Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe coming up at 3. Elliot Davis, who is retiring tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Look at him making his last show, the DGS. Mm-hmm. I love it.
It's pretty cool.
He's going to be in studio at 4 p.m. Looking forward to talking to Elliot. And it's time for the Rachel segment.
All right. So we just talked about sports. Let's talk some more sports. I thought this was an interesting story. So the Olympics are going on and I've been paying attention to tennis, even though I'm a little disappointed that they're not airing more tennis matches on NBC. But there's a tennis player named Emma Navarro. And I first became aware of her during the Wimbledon tournament because she like upset Coco Gauff and was able to move on and kind of came out of nowhere. Her father is a billionaire, just throwing that out there just so everybody knows. But she played a Chinese competitor with the last name of Zhang, and she got smoked in her final set. The first two sets were tie breaks, but the last one was 6-1. And when they went to the net to shake hands, Emma Navarro, there was obviously like an exchanging of words, and they asked her about it later. And she said, and I'm curious to see what you guys think of this, she said, I just told her I didn't respect her as a competitor. I think she goes about things in a pretty cutthroat way. It makes for a locker room that doesn't have a lot of camaraderie, so it's tough to face an opponent like that who I really don't respect. Hmm. My question for you guys is it fair to say that you don't respect your opponent because they're being too rough on you as you play against each other in a sport?
We also let you go first.
I mean, to me, that whole thing's pretty stupid.
It's pretty dumb, isn't
it? It's pretty stupid. Like, they are literally trying to beat you. They're not there. They're not your teammate. They're not there to be your friend.
It's the Olympics. Like, I know. It doesn't get any more cutthroat than that.
Do you know, is it like is it off the field too, that the person's just really, really unpleasant and makes everything difficult?
That's what Emma Navarro implied. Like, maybe she was rude to her in the locker room or something, but I don't think that's really relevant when it comes to actually playing. Then you say, like, you go about things in a cutthroat way. Well, you're trying to win.
Okay. So having played sports with people like this, I'm thinking of one person in particular that played really, really hard. I didn't enjoy playing against this person, but never let up. They were constantly like that all the time, trash talking and just a real jerk. And I would feel that way about that person. Now, I don't think I would have the guts to not shake their hand.
Like, do you think you would be justified in saying something? Because I think it's one thing to feel that.
I think so.
But then to go like, oh, I don't respect you, actually. You're too hard on me.
I think so. If it's off the field as well, anything on the field, fair game. If they are playing within the rules, the referee, the umpire is not calling penalties on them, then that's on you. But if that person is just a particularly unpleasant person, say it was Donald Trump. Say that you're running against Donald Trump. And what if Kamala Harris said something like that? You know, I don't respect the way you've ran the campaign, the things you've said about me. Would that be fair?
I think it's a different thing because in politics, there is like room for a compliment. There's room for, hey, this is where we actually get along because we're both Americans, right? Like at the end of the day, we're on the same page. If it's a sporting events, like your goal is to crush the other person.
In general, I'm all for competing hard and tough. But when someone is incredibly unpleasant off the field, I could see that affecting you.
Yeah, it can affect you, but I mean,
it just feels like whining.
Are you the bigger person by not shaking their hand when they beat you fair and square? Now, the way I would feel differently about this is the way a lot of major league players felt about the steroid users, where they did not respect them because they cheated, because they were breaking the rules and they were doing things that compromised the integrity of the sport. That's a different thing. If that was the accusation being made, that's a different thing, and I can understand that. If it's somebody, though, that is playing within the rules and they're just nasty, shake their hand.
Yeah.
They beat you. Show the respect that they beat you because they were better than you on that day. And who knows? Maybe there's stuff behind the scenes that we don't know about. Maybe there is an accusation out there or a belief amongst tennis players that this other player is doing something untoward. But outside of that, shake the person's hand.
Zhang fired back and said, I'm glad she told me that. I will not consider it an attack because she lost the match.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, guys. DGS time of the week when we talk to our pal Ricky Horton. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing great, Dave. How about you?
Doing well. So lots of stuff to get into with the Cardinals, but I'm in the mood for a get-to-know-Ricky question. We were talking at lunch today about jobs that we've had. I hate to brag, but I am an alumni of Mr. Donut. And my friend Andrew was a fry cook at Woody's Chicken in East Alton, Illinois. What did Ricky Horton do before Major League Baseball?
Boy, I have to think about that because I've been doing baseball for so long. I had some summer jobs, actually. When I played baseball up in Alaska, my job was to paint the, because they got us jobs, and my job was to paint the town hall. And the town hall was as big as a closet in this small town in Alaska. And here's what they told me. We're going to pay you, and I think they were paying us $20 an hour, being another player from Texas A&M. And they said, whatever you do, make sure it takes you all summer to paint it. That's what they told me.
So
we'd get up early in the morning and go, and that's where I learned to drink coffee up in Alaska. So there's my job. That's the first one that pops to
mind.
That's
pretty good.
I had
that's
a lot
awesome.
Of jobs because I was always playing.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Where in Alaska were you, Rick? I lived there for a while.
I was in Kenai, Alaska, and you know, somebody asked me the other day about the places I've been, the states I've been and haven't been, and I'm down to three that I haven't been to: Maine, Idaho, and North Dakota. But my summer in Alaska, it's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. We played in Fairbanks and Palmer and Anchorage, and it's just really a beautiful state.
Yeah, that was one of the top college leagues. The Alaska League. Yeah, I had some teammates that went up there.
Didn't know this.
Yeah,
I played in Cape Cod after my freshman year in college, and enjoyed Cape Cod also, and then went the other side of the country after my sophomore year. And really, the best players around, and you find out how good you are.
So I don't believe I have been on with you since the Tommy Pham Grand Slam. Yeah. And once again, have to compliment both of you. I know it was John's call primarily, but that to me, like your call on that, the two of you boys, that's like a Grand Slam in and of itself. Well done.
Well, thank you for that. I'm telling you, it was a fun moment for both of us. And, and it was a fun moment, I think, for everybody at the ballpark. You know, we were all talking about this after the game, all the broadcasters, TV side also, just like, you know, this felt like a Cardinal moment. And I mean, it feels like, you know, we haven't had as many of those in the last couple of years, but you know, there's always this magical thing. And I think the crowd always responds to those big moments, and they're a part of those big moments. And I think that's what happened. Tommy Pham saying, you know, the crowd energized me. And then, well, frankly, he energized the crowd after that. So I think that's a really good, a good kind of jumping off point for the rest of the year, that moment, and just nice to have Tommy around.
Tommy's a different kind of guy, man. I didn't realize before he came back how intense he is and the reputation he has.
Yeah. No, he is not for the faint at heart, is what I say. And so, yeah, because he is not afraid to kind of say it like it is. And if you're a say it like it is kind of guy, you love him. If you're not, you avoid him. But honestly, he's not that he's a mean guy. He's a thoughtful guy. And the dude wants to win, and he's going to bring some fire, and he's going to push people that don't have that fire.
Well, and boy, they need the bat against left-handers too. And what did he, on the Grand Slam, you're talking about a perfect example. You could tell he's looking for the changeup. He gets a changeup up, and he just drives it the way that it was pitched so he can keep himself in it, and then goes 3-for-4 yesterday. And he can be a critical part, Rick, not just against lefties, against righties too, but filling a massive need. I mean, there's nothing against Dylan. We know he was trying and just wasn't working. And that side of the plate has been a problem, but not for Tommy this year and really never in his career. He's always hit lefties.
He always has, and he always has some the ability to come up and have some big moments too, because he's become kind of a late season star player now. So, you know, I'm not going to say he's Reggie Jackson and Mr. October, but kind of. I mean, lately at least. And so, you know, I think he's no moment's going to scare him. And I feel like he can scare people. To imagine that was the first extra base hit, pinch hit that the Cardinals have had all season, game 108 is almost like that's ludicrous, really. That hasn't been better than that. So, I mean, he's going to have some good at bats. He can play all over in the outfield. He also runs well.
You know, we'll get to Eric Fetty in a minute, and he'll debut for the Cardinals tomorrow in the second game of this series. But this has been a storybook couple of days. I mean, you had Tommy Pham's return, the big Grand Slam, but it doesn't get any more storybook than Michael McGreevy's major league debut.
Oh, those are so much fun. Every time a player makes a debut, I love to point out the fact that this is a victory for not just him to get to the big leagues. And he was pretty direct about that. He said, this is my dream to get to be a big league player. And there he was. But you know, it's not just him. It's his high school coach, the neighbors, et cetera. And I say that all the time, but it's because I feel it every time a young player comes out there. He looked like Opie Taylor on the mound. I mean, he looks like he's about 10 years old. And that makes you want to cheer for him even more, doesn't it? But he didn't pitch like Opie Taylor. I mean, he was much more, you know, in control and very confident, I thought, the way he went about his business. So, you know, he got sent out today, which was the plan. It's not that he should have done better, but he was filling a need for that short period of time. And then, as you say, we're going to get to see Eric Fetty here this weekend.
Looking forward to that. He's had a hell of a year. I know we talked about him the other day after the team acquired him, but he's had a really strong year in terms of just what he's been able to do. Things that sound minor, Rick, you know, like changing your slider to more of a sweeper, which is not a huge change, but
no,
also he
not.
Changed his arm angle, which is maybe a little more difficult thing to do. Talk about that. I mean, like, you know, everybody throws a certain way and you can change it, but it's hard to do that on purpose.
Well, think about the changes that took place in his life when he got a chance to play in Korea. I mean, talk about a change of life. I mean, you wake up every morning and you don't speak the language in the place that you now live. And you've got teammates that don't understand you. I mean, that is, talk about making a change. So sometimes you just need a macro change so you can make this little micro change and reinvent yourself as a pitcher. He almost had to reinvent himself as a person. I mean, when you go, because I've done that. I played in Dominican Republic, and it's a family challenge. It's great, but things are different. So once you kind of go down that road of thinking differently, maybe it unlocks something. And we've seen guys do that before. Miles Michael has had that experience. Several others pitching overseas and coming back and being better.
It is fascinating that, you know, there's so many more opportunities for that. And I mean, maybe it's not more because, you know, people that may not be as tied into baseball don't necessarily know that there are limits on foreign players in the Korean League and in the Japanese league. Like, there's only so many opportunities. Yeah. Only so many opportunities for guys to go over there. And a lot of times it's maybe guys that are on the back end of a career that where they spent a lot of time in AAA and they can go make a lot of money and stay there and play for 10 years. But then you have the other side, which are guys like Miles, who was at a point in his career where he had stuff but couldn't do it. Eric Fetty always had stuff but couldn't quite get it done, and they used that opportunity to come back.
You know, one thing I've always somewhat regretted, although it would have been, you know, I'm not sure what the opportunities would have been, but, you know, just at the end of my career, exploring pitching in, I don't know, Italy. I mean, pitching in Australia. I mean, I've known guys that have done both those things.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I could have had a job at that time in Japan or Korea, but just for the experience alone, I mean, when you get older, you realize how cool would that have been to wake up in the morning and I'm going to pitch today and I'm going to go to the Tuscan winery tomorrow. I mean, that would have been, I mean, what a great life that would have been, life experience. And I'm sure it went from life experience to him to something even better.
Yeah, you could have been painting the local Rotary Club in Sicily
for a whole summer.
Take your time, sir. Take your time.
You make sure this lasts until October. Thank you, Rick.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, great. Great to be with you guys.
251 DGS. We have Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe coming up. I'm doing a little bit different interview than what you've been hearing lately. A little more personal. And Throwback Thursday, Rach.
Yes. What happened on August 1st back in the day? It's time for Throwback Thursday. 88 years ago in 1936, the Olympic torch appeared for the first time at the opening ceremonies in Berlin. The ceremony was presided over by Adolf Hitler.
Mm.
How weird is that?
Yeah, that was the Jesse Owens Olympics. Which was such a great.
Yeah.
Great.
Did Jesse win our best Olympian of all time? I forgot.
I can't remember. I think so.
I think so.
When you consider the context of everything going on.
Yeah.
And not only over there, but like race relations here.
One of the greatest in your faces of all time.
Boom.
53 years ago in 1971, the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour debuted on CBS.
Used to watch it all the time.
Used to watch it too. Reruns on TV Land.
Has there ever been a bigger glamour honor than Sonny Bono?
this was the big deal. Wheels' take on Sonny.
I mean, he wasn't a giant deal, but he was like, I think he was 28 and divorced, and she was 16. She told him that she was 19 when they got together, but he was the bigger deal.
He was?
Yeah, he was. I mean, she was just a 16-year-old nobody.
Oh, I always thought that she was the draw, and he just kind of
Well, once they became Sonny and Cher, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like 19 before I realized that Sonny Bono and Bono were two different people. I was like, no one can agree how to say this man's name.
Wow, he was married to Cher? What an amazing life.
Yeah, and he was from Ireland, too. What the heck?
Puts on a pair of sunglasses, and he looks totally different.
43 years ago in 1981, MTV was launched in an estimated 2 million homes at 12:01 a.m. It started off with the words, "Ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll."
I was at my buddy Tim's house when it happened.
Remember Were you guys it? Counting down to it?
No, we just happened to, we did just like, hey, isn't this happening? And what is it?
How many years ago was that?
43 years ago.
I just know that was such a big deal. Not just that launch, but like just in general, every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every day, that's what you did in your free time.
It was so cool.
Yeah.
30 years ago in 1994, Michael Jackson and Lisa Marie Presley confirmed they had secretly gotten married 11 weeks earlier. They divorced in August of 1996, but continued to date on and off for 4 more years after their divorce.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Hmm.
interesting fun fact in our back in the day throwback Thursday segment.
Remember the kiss?
The one where they're like,
the big rumor was it was a completely, you know, set up job and they weren't really together. And then they came out on the musical. Grammys.
The Grammys.
Or MTV Music Awards or something, and had this really weird, awkward kiss on stage.
Yeah, it was like creepy.
Well, prove it to him, babe.
Yeah, it was.
And
they were
both
exactly
like,
that. Yeah. I'm kissing you.
They're like wiping their lips afterwards, like,
2 days.
They both like grabbed the sleeve of their shirt, like,
he's getting out the sparkles of. 28 years ago in 1996, MTV launched MTV2. MTV2 still plays music videos these days from time to time.
Didn't know that.
In between episodes of Ridiculousness. 12 years ago in 2012, 8 women's badminton players were disqualified from the Summer Olympics for trying to lose matches on purpose to get more favorable matchups later on in the tournament.
The other day, Andrew had something on the Google Doc about, this is the dumbest thing ever, but Olympians are amazing. I watched badminton the other night, and then I watched ping pong.
Mm-hmm.
There is every bit as impressive as like a 100-meter runner.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the one? I think she's from China. She's 62 years old.
What?
And she's beating everyone in ping pong. Yeah.
Get out of here. 62?
I love old. Yeah. I saw a whole feature like late at night on the Olympics. They run little features about stuff. And I saw a feature about like old Olympians and like through history and stuff. I love it. I think it's great. If you're when you, like the Wheels and I were talking in the office about the Turkish guy. Who,
have you seen this guy?
Is he the shooter?
The shooter?
Yeah, who has no equipment or anything. He's like 50-something years old, and he's just like showed up in a T-shirt and got a silver medal.
Everybody else there has like these special lenses, and they're like, he's just got his normal glasses on, no earphones. He just like, bonk, and he's like, what, he win a silver medal?
Yeah.
Love that guy.
And my final throwback Thursday story, 10 years ago in 2014, Guardians of the Galaxy was released.
Mm, very cool. Oh, we have
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.